Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
And that's what we do on the Midday Midway, when we remind you of what we have done so far. We had football talk with Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk at NBC Sports. Discussed John Fox as a national television NFL studio analyst, and my belief is he's going to be better than you think.
He's going to bloom like a beautiful flower and unveil his NFL tidbits and knowledge to all of you.
Or perhaps like the infamous corpse flower at the Botanical Gardens that smells like
rotting
meat.
The one that
meat.
Smells?
Yes, yeah. It's possible that's
rotting
the case too.
Rotting meat and vodka.
But he is engaging when he's not worried about anything and not trying to protect anything. And I think that maybe it's just going to surprise you how good he is. Also discussed the possible changes to the catch rule. We talked with Ian Eagle. He's going to be calling Villanova and West Virginia, Purdue, and Texas Tech on TBS, and Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance Jr. And their take on the giant ancient people that rode the dinosaurs.
So first one up is John Heyman of FanRag Sports writes up a league-wide roundup just about once a week or so during spring training. I think he does in the regular season, too. This is from John Heyman's roundup. There is, quote, concern for Zach Greinke among Greinke and club higher-ups who don't seem quite sure whether he'll be ready for opening day, reports Nick Pecoro of the Arizona Republic. He, and I assume they're referencing Greinke here and not Pecoro, Greinke is throwing in the mid-80s.
Ooh.
You need to throw faster than that, at least generally speaking. Greinke's always been a guy that's gotten that dead arm thing leading up to the season and at points during spring training, but this seems a little different.
Is it possible they're not talking about the velocity of his pitches and he's actually gone back in time to pitch in the mid-80s?
I don't think so.
Because he'll kill him.
I feel like
if he's going up against only a Brett Saberhagen and Joaquin Andujar.
I've never seen a breaking ball like that.
Right. It's going to be fine. If that would be a story if he's gone back to pitch in the mid-80s. NBA players are increasingly struggling with an addiction. And that addiction is the video game Fortnite. This was at Bleacher Report, where Andre Drummond, he says, the funny part about it is that I really suck. But apparently, he is so compelled to play that he's among those who are losing sleep. There's Fortnite Battle Royale, and that's what NBA players are doing. They're saying it's like the Hunger Games, 100 people on a map, survival game, find your supplies, weapons, materials, and it's every man for himself or every team for itself. You can play as a duo or as a squad. So Drummond is among others who were quoted in this as he says, it's ruining my whole PlayStation experience. As he only wants to play one game, he plays it every day for at least a few hours.
My word.
And there have been numerous others who are weighing in about the Luke Kennard and other members of the Pistons who might be playing a little too much Fortnite.
It's not just NBA clubhouses. I was down in spring training a couple of weeks ago. It is in MLB clubhouses, too. I haven't played it yet. I am an erstwhile gamer.
Okay.
I get into a game or two. I play a little MLB The Show. I've gotten into Fallout for a little while, which is somewhat like Fortnite in its open worldness. Actually, it's the reason I need to get late. I wear contacts. I need to get my vision corrected.
Okay.
It's my fear of a post-apocalyptic world where I think I need to get this vision corrected. Otherwise, I'm going to be a treat for the Marauders out there if I don't get this thing fixed.
That's what you're obsessing over?
Oh, yeah. I'm very worried about it. It's a real fear for me. It's
you're
going
to be a chief
like
for the Marauders anyway.
Well, that's probably true. But if I can stay out in front of him and see him coming, at least all you got to do is beat the guy who's behind you. All you got to do is just not be last.
Well,
and
that's,
then the flesh-eating Marauders are going to – you don't have to be put on top of the nitro truck and driven around as a hood ornament.
That's a bit of a stigma in the Fortnite community, too, where you get a reputation as a hider. As someone who waits for everybody
camper.
To kill each
camp.
Other.
Not Rick Camp.
And just sitting in the vegetation for a while. And the reason I know this is if you have a 12 to 14 to 15-year-old boy, I'm just speaking that how quickly it has taken over when the moment somebody gets home from school, now that I'm there when he gets home from school, and I can say, look, do your homework, get clarinet practice out of the way. And then we had to put a time limit on it because they're texting each other, they're calling each other, they're setting up with little headsets, and they're playing over and over and over again. And my exercise bike is right there, too. So one of my great pleasures in life now is timing my workouts so I can razz him while he plays Fortnite and gets sniped by people. But it is a very cool game to watch. If you're just sort of watching, spectating, as they say, in the Fortnite community, and you can watch what they're doing. I've learned what some of the different areas are. I've learned what some of the different strategies
are. You've
seen
some of the maps.
Watching some of the good players against the not-so-good players, how to make sure when the eye of the storm shrinks, you are where you have to be. I get it because it is taking over middle school and high school boys' lives, too.
This from an NBC Sports report. ESPN wants to add more graphics, more bells and whistles to its baseball broadcasts. We've seen the strike zone up there, right? You've seen that drawn out for you during a game, throughout each pitch, crosses over. They want to use that 3D strike zone box, where they spin the camera. Good. And you've got that plate-sized geometrical object standing up there, and you get to see where the ball crosses the plate and whatnot. There are other graphics that they want to throw in there as well. And I know a lot of people, some people rather, have a problem with having all that stuff on the screen. I never have. And I think I wonder if it's generational because of the video game thing.
Sure it is.
I will get used to it always.
I'm resigned to knowing that I will get either or the same, the Twitch screen possibly for NBA.
Yeah.
Our sports viewership is going to get busier visually.
Oh, no doubt. Even the broadcasts and the uniforms themselves, and who knows, maybe at some point you're going to have, already you've got this a little bit in the NBA, right? You have motion tracking where you can follow a guy's steps and distance and route efficiency in the NFL. You can do that in baseball, too. You can do that during a broadcast. And I, having come up playing baseball on a video game, have always seen baseball with stuff on the screen. Doesn't bother me in the least.
68% of Cook County voters approved when asked if Illinois should legalize, quote, the cultivation, manufacture, distribution, testing, and sale of marijuana and marijuana products for recreational use by adults 21 and older. It was an advisory referendum, but it does provide some more ammunition for downstate lawmakers to maybe put something on the books to open up a whole ton of tax revenue and tourist revenue and all kinds of money for this state. And I only mention that because I had seen this. Guess who is championing marijuana? None other than four-time Super Bowl champ Joe Montana.
No kidding.
In an interview with Playboy, the former 49ers and Kansas City Chiefs quarterback explained he thinks it's time for people to educate themselves about the healing properties of pot. This is from RealClearSports.com. Legalization's picking up steam on a global level, and I feel like now is the time to spread information about the curing capabilities of this plant, Montana told the magazine. As with any medicine, increased accessibility comes with the need for education. And in the piece, other former NFLers like Ricky Williams, Sean Smith, Leonard Marshall, former Bear Evan Britton, also shared their thoughts on marijuana, whether the NFL should remove it from the league's banned substance list. While Montana is known more for throwing hot routes than offering hot takes, his stance on legalizing pot perhaps shouldn't be all that surprising, considering he invested $4.1 million in a marijuana startup last year.
There's your hook.
During a round of seed funding. You don't want seeds, though. You want
no, no. You can't have the seeds. No, those get stuck in the bottom, and it's really difficult to clean out.
Explode in the bowl. You don't want that happening. It'll pop it on you, so you get the seeds out of seed funding. But Joe Montana, who has become a marijuana evangelist,
I'm proud. I've shaded that arrow in myself when I went to the ballot box. Along with what was 68% of
68%.
It's a lot of people.
Hey, it's
enough.
Look
at the economies elsewhere in this country that have adapted and taxed the hell out of that stuff and done real good things for civic issues around town.
And look at what the pushback that you're getting from people. Like, is it Cory Gardner, the senator from Colorado, who's like, whoa, all this federal crackdown. Like, we got too much business here. Way too much money. Too many donors, too many constituents. And I think it's great. Why not?
You may remember that Martin Perez of the Texas Rangers suffered an elbow injury, a fractured elbow during the offseason in what was called a bull-related incident.
Okay.
He apparently...
Cristiano Felicio ran him down.
Apparently the bull startled Perez, not the other way around. Perez fell and fractured his non-throwing elbow. Today,
I thought this was going to be the crossbow injury.
No, this is not the crossbow injury. This was a bull-related incident. However, and this may involve a crossbow, I'm not sure, Martin Perez has resolved the issue.
What does that mean?
He killed the bull.
Seriously?
And ate it.
Damn!
The bull that hurt him, he killed it and ate it.
The whole thing?
I don't know. Yeah, all by himself in one sitting.
It's like
his check was free. He ate the whole thing. He didn't have to pay for the meal.
They put him on the wall. It gets on the wall of fame for eating the entire bull.
Jay, we need him on the podcast.
Yeah, there you go.
This is from the Star Telegram. I killed him and ate him, Perez said. He allowed one run in 5 innings in his Cactus League debut on Sunday.
Talking about his roommate. Yeah.
And was asking him a nice Chianti.
Wow.
Preston, he phoned his brother on his way back to Venezuela following a surgery in Texas, and the decision was made. It was good meat, Perez said. No more bull.
Hey! And that is the Midday Midway. Get used to it. We do it at the midpoint of every show on the Bernstein and McKnight show. We always put stuff out there. We ask you what you think at 312-644-6767. Len Casper is going to join us at noon. We also have some Mitch Trubisky sound that I think people need to hear.
Still laughing about him killing and eating the bull.
But it frightened him,
I guess.
It's not like it stepped on his balls or something. I mean, it had the audacity to just frighten him.
He fell over and fractured his elbow, and he killed and ate the bull.
Was he raising it to eat it?
Do you do that with bulls? I don't think you raise bulls for food.
In Venezuela?
You exact revenge on bulls for food.
I need more information because you've piqued my interest
here.
I'll
see if I can find more.
Midday Midway, brought to you by Walgreens. Walgreens is here for all your diabetes needs. Stop by today to consult with your pharmacist and get trusted advice and tips about your diabetes medications and testing supplies. We began the show talking a lot about John Fox, the former Bears head coach, with such overwhelming disdain for his interaction with the media and all the time that was part of his job in dealing with the media. Is now going to be a member of the media. And if you're getting your hopes up that he's going to flop, I would not do that because I think he's going to be pretty good. I know we had some people wanted to weigh in and talk about that. We can do that and more. We'll work our way up through some baseball talk coming up at the top of the hour on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I love the reaction to some of the Fortnite stuff.
Some
here,
really
too.
Good.
So I was like, my kid's 22, and it's not just these 12, 13, 14-year-olds, because we're hearing about all these NBA players who are getting addicted to playing Fortnite. And then this one texter says, my NBA 2K My Career player is addicted to Fortnite. Now, that's seriously meta
it
at
is.
This point. But
it's inside.
I am learning a lot about it. I've watched a lot, and I've seen how some of these really good players do it. It's about the building. It's about you get your the wood and the stone and the brick and the people at the end. When you get to those top three players at the end of the Battle Royal, it's people who know how to build shooting platforms and build places from which to get higher ground. And speaking of that, that there's all sorts of things that are gone campy. That was nicely done if you intended that. That's really quite a thing. Now, also, the 309 says, guys, you raise bulls for breeding purposes.
That's what I thought.
And steers to eat. A steer is a castrated bull. So the testosterone doesn't bulk up muscle, and that's how it has more fat.
Okay. All right. That makes sense, which means more taste. You get the marbling and all that kind of stuff. So you asked what happened with Martin Perez when he was on the ranch. Unfortunately, the only thing I had for you was he killed the bull and ate it.
Mm-hmm.
I found more. What happened, Perez? I knew you guys were going to ask that. He's got horses and cows on the ranch. My guys were working with the cows, he says. I was sitting on a fence. My brother said something. I looked back at him. Then I heard, watch out. I turned. A bull was coming at me. I fell. I was trying to fall on my feet. Landed on my elbow. Broke his elbow. Non-pitching elbow. And then he killed and ate the bull.
He had it killed, apparently. He didn't.
We don't know that.
I believe the Fort Worth Star-Telegram that said he had it slaughtered and butchered.
He could have taken. What's the ceremonial Spanish sword that you end the bull with? It's got the name. It's a lanza, I think. No, that's what you use to
Mario lanza comes in and finishes off the bull. Then you're awarded the ears and the tail.
Yes, yes. You mount the horns as a ceremonial.
I don't know the name of that sword. You got me on that one. That seems like something that Bernstein should know.
I've had a conversation with Ozzie Guillen about it because he's a big bullfighting guy.
Loves the bullfights. I've never been to one. I can't bring myself to go to one.
It's too much for me. It seems somewhat inhumane.
Somewhat? Then again, I'm an NFL fan.
Somewhat inhumane.
So. I assume you go to root for the bull.
Yeah, I mean, on the other side, I mean, the NFL has, you know, humans suffering injury, and then they have to deal with it lifelong. In bullfighting, the bull could win. We've seen
it has.
Yeah, it's not like Carr versus, you know, or like Guy versus Ground. Ground's undefeated there.
Yeah, Train
Bull's
versus Carr.
Undefeated. Right. It always ends with a one way.
Right.
The bull has a somewhat of a chance in that one.
Yes.
We've seen bulls come out on top.
I don't want to see that either, though. I'm not rooting
think that maybe makes it less inhumane.
We had the opportunity in Acapulco. Somebody said, hey, by the way, if you got tickets to the bullfight, you want to head up to the bullfight, we'd take you up there. And I just thought,
I don't.
It sounded cool. I want to have said I went to one.
Because of the tradition? Because of the...
It's exotic. Yeah. You know, you feel like Hemingway.
Somewhat foreboden.
It's one of those things. Like, you know, you read A Movable Feast or something, and it just seems like one of these Hemingway things.
Right.
Ezra Pound and I went to box each other.
Hammered on whiskey and drive yourself up.
We went to Brasserie Leap and had choucroute, and then we went for boxing lessons, and then it was time to go ski. And it's just, you know, you sort of feel like you're supposed to do that, but no, thank you.
There's no delicate way to transfer from Martin Perez's killing and eating his own bull to, I guess, pitching in the Orioles edition of Alex Cobb. But we've got a free agent signing. Alex Cobb goes to the Orioles. We had Kevin talking about that during the update. He's passed his physical, and I believe it's 4 years and $60 million.
Okay.
You know, you'd seen Lance Lynn go to the Twins for a pretty team-friendly deal. Cobb gets some pretty good money to go to the Orioles. Cobb, of all those free agent starters, and when the Cubs were rumored to have been in on perhaps Cobb instead of Darvish, or, you know, using him, accepting him as a backup plan, I kind of waved it off. A lot of people have been looking at you, Darvish, as the least or less reliable starter, where in fact it's Cobb.
And I thought Cobb was destined for the Cubs the moment that Jim Hickey arrived. I thought, that's it. There's this familiarity here, that it was fait accompli, and I was wrong.
And with Cobb, you know, there's two things that Cobb's contract and signing have made me think about here. And we'll do the Orioles angle before the update, and then what it means for, I think, what it may mean for the rest of baseball, or what these contracts that we've seen signed late in free agency may shift kind of the conversation about the offseason as a whole. You know how bad the Orioles have been at pitching the last handful of years, Dan?
Famously so.
Really bad.
To the point where, with Jake Arrieta as an example, some have felt that, and Pedro Strop, Some have felt that they were actively impeding the success of their own pitchers. Kevin Gausman, with the way they coach guys, and other teams are looking at it, hey, well, you know, there's hidden value in underperforming Orioles that others can unlock.
One of the analytics guys I follow on Twitter had tweeted this number out, and I've lost track of who it was, but my apologies to him, but the Orioles have not had a 3.5 WAR pitcher via FanGraphs since, any guesses? You got to go back. It is
3.5 WAR pitcher.
3.5. For what it's worth, 3.5 puts you in the top 20-ish in last year's category. 3.5 last year is Michael Fulmer. It's also Darvish.
That's not that good.
Marcus Stroman was a 3.4. No, but it is. But you can see good from 3.5.
How far back?
2007, it was Eric Bedard.
Jesus, the hard throwing lefty.
They have been terrible. Cobb had a 2.4 last season. Dylan Bundy and Kevin Gausman had 2.7 and 2.5 respectively last year.
You have to try to be that bad. I mean, just there could be someone who just happens to have a career year, 1 year, that gets you a 3.7 WAR number.
And quite honestly, although I'm not a huge... I've come around some on Buck Showalter and everyone talking about his ability to manage a bullpen. But
as
you look at those kind
his
of numbers,
closer in a playoff game.
Yeah, you got to find Zach Britton down there.
You know, I like that Eric Bedard stat a lot, Connor, but he's Canadian, so it doesn't really count. You're going to have to go back a little bit further for me. Anyway.
It doesn't count? You don't count Canadians as people?
Does anyone?
Or is the conversion?
Yes. Some
many people.
Do.
Yes.
News to me.
Yeah.
I heard it the first time, Rick. That's all right.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Blow your nose, Shep.
It's fact, though. It's fact. Yeah, stay the hell away from that matchup.
That was score values. That is actually like public service programming. That is the essence of public service programming per the Federal Communications Commission.
Hey.
Don't get hit by a train.
Look out for trains.
Yeah, never let it be said that Sports Radio 670 doesn't look out for you, the score listener, in reminding you don't get hit by a train because that's bad.
Since that aired, train fatalities have dropped hugely in the Chicagoland area. Thank you, Shep.
I was going to get hit by a train.
Well,
but
you heard
then
this Shep guy?
I don't know.
Seems to make a point.
Shep says we shouldn't do this.
Really?
Hey, want to go get hit by a train tomorrow?
I don't know. I heard Shep say score values overnight. And I'm just kind of rethinking my whole being hit by a train thing. Cronway Tweedy on Twitter has reminded me where I saw that 3.5 WAR Orioles stat. It was Ethan Spaulding on Twitter, one of my favorite numbers follows there on for baseball Twitter. And with Alex Cobb, we just had talked about him some in the history of wonderful history of Orioles starting pitching. I wonder this, Dan. You know, we made so much about waiting for free agents to get their big money, about some of these contracts to come in, and whether it was Hosmer or whether it was Darvish or even to a certain degree Alex Cobb here.
Okay.
We've seen interspersed in those deals guys having to take essentially okay flyers that come across the desk, right? Whether it's Moustakas taking the $6.5 million deal with the Royals, whether it's Lance Lynn taking a short deal with the Minnesota Twins. There are others that I'm no doubt forgetting. Eugenio Suarez just took an extension. And there is...
It's one of the great Pat Hughes names.
Eugenio Suarez.
Eugenio Suarez. And it gives you every syllable. It's not Eugenio, it's Eugenio.
Avisail Garcia, always a fun one for me there, because every vowel gets its own sound. I wondered this, and I don't know if you've brought this up. I don't know. You know, we've only been working together for about a week, so perhaps it's something you've pondered, but it just kind of hit me the other day with teams being reluctant to give out that money to free agents that have in the past gotten such high deals, such big numbers.
Okay.
And with those free agents having been more productive in the past than they've been typically now in the latest iteration of baseball, I wonder if another consequence of an offseason like this, and maybe this turns out to be the outlier offseason. I don't think so. I think we're moving slowly in this direction, perhaps not that slowly. But I wonder if you're now going to see more and more, maybe it's Boris clients, maybe it's not, but under market extensions like a Tim Anderson deal, reached
like
by
Evan
players
Longoria,
like Evan Longoria because
Chris
of
Sale.
The fear. Yeah, Chris Sale, a good one. Adam Eaton, too. Because of the fear of that market just not being there for you. We never, free agents haven't had to deal with that before, the money not being there.
All right, let me,
if you hit free agency between 29 and 30, 27 and 30, your money was done. It was guaranteed to you as a matter of practicality. And I don't, this offseason has put the fear of God into a number of free agents, some who are still waiting for contracts. And I wonder now if that next class, the next couple of rookies, Michael Kopech, who comes up, is now forced to some degree to sign the extension earlier than he would have otherwise.
Because you're more frightened of not ever getting it. That they're presenting you a
smaller, never coming up
pot of gold before the end of the rainbow, but say, you know, especially with pitching because of the danger to a shoulder.
Yes.
And if you end up like Carlos Rodon and all of a sudden you're, look, a wise man once told me, you can repair an elbow. You got to deal with a shoulder forever. That there is, that if it's a shoulder injury, nobody comes back the same from a shoulder.
I feel it. No matter what. I feel it.
They say elbow, you pop that new thing in and you're fine. And you got to do it multiple times. You do it multiple times. You cannot do that with a shoulder.
And with that uncertainty then, and the health is one thing of pitchers, but we've seen it with even position players too. You've seen, like I mentioned, the Tim Anderson contract. What's that market look like for a guy who's got a giant hole in his game, who has the one thing that he can't with Tim Anderson, it's the on-base percentage and not drawing walks. If you have otherworldly skills in three areas, in four areas, but you're not the five-talent guy, then maybe the hedging against that skill set that's just a little bit short is taking that early extension, including what we've seen or now knowing what we've seen in this marketplace.
I have a potential counterbalance to what you're saying that might
cool.
change that, but not for everybody.
Well, you should tell the union then, because they're definitely going to need it.
This segment brought to you by Firestone Complete Auto Care. Firestone Complete Auto Care. Keeping cars running newer, longer, whatever you drive, drive a Firestone. You got baseball talk right now with Bernstein and McKnight on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, little Hegelian dialectic here. The thesis that has been posited by Connor McKnight is that more MLB players looking at a less lucrative free agent future in general, because guys that are becoming free agents at 28, 29, 30 don't have their payday form because there's a different understanding of what prime years mean, and a team would rather pay its own prospect under contract control a lot less money than forking it over in free agency, that those players are going to be much more responsive when teams reach out with a team-friendly but still relatively lucrative deal to cut off some of those arbitration years and just say,
or even into free agency. We've seen a few of those right. as well, or at least perhaps options into free agency.
Okay, so here's my antithesis to that, and that is part of what's happening, if we take for granted in this argument a greater understanding of value at a younger age. You used to say, oh, you're not even really in your prime until you're 25, and yeah, you go 25 to 32 and 33. A pitcher isn't even in his prime until he's 30. That's all garbage. We know that's all garbage. Now,
right.
Baseball knows that's garbage. Guys are being trained from the age of 8 to the time that you have to get them into your system and draft them. The level, the specificity of coaching and physical development is absolutely off the charts now. So they know that a player at 20 can easily be major league ready. A player at 20 and
physically,
21
yes.
can be ready to help you win. Also, there are a handful of elite prospects who may just by dint of their own ability force themselves onto your major league roster at 19. Say, take Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, Chris Bryant. Some of these guys as examples of, we've got to get this guy on the major league roster. It syncs up with our window for winning right now, so the clock is started. They may have less incentive to sign one of those deals because they're going to be a free agent still in their prime.
Yeah.
They're going to hit it at 26, 27. All of a sudden, it's time to cash in. So on balance, if you look at overall numbers, it might look the same if you look at it eventually because of the time shift with the talent shift. So I think our synthesis here is you have a smaller number of great players who will
top
be able
tier
to
elite. Nobody better.
Right. That handful of great players that stays healthy, probably position players, because you're not going to do this for a lot of pitchers.
I wouldn't imagine.
That most of these position players it will balance out the overall numbers, but the average guy, the average good Major League Baseball player, we had tracked this before. A listener at Whitley from Ravenswood did a great job tracking this. The
really?
Number. Yeah, I wrote a couple columns about it.
Like your Whit Merrifields or...
He looked at even better. He looked at it by like veteran bats, guys with 1,000 hits or 850 hits, established, successful, valuable major
okay.
league players
okay.
where teams look at them and say, we simply don't need to pay for this. We do not need to pay for what you've done. It doesn't matter that you have 850 hits in your career and that you've been a solid player on two teams. To an increasing number of major league general managers, there's no value in that.
So question there becomes, obviously, how big is that elite class? And can, in an open market like that, can those mega deals, can the rising tide really lift all boats?
No. Because it lifts their boats.
It lifts just the one boat, right?
Right.
The Manny Machado getting $400 million or Bryce Harper getting whatever he's going to get in this offseason. Mike Trout's next extension. Clayton Kershaw's potential next extension. Kershaw would definitely be the exception to the pitching rule there. I think, too, then, you know, if we're looking at those... At the middle tier guys, the average baseball players, and I've said this all the time since got into baseball or whatever, being an average baseball player is a compliment, right? That is a solid level of having been there, of hopefully versatility and of competency. There's also a shift, Dan, in what that middle class, what that average class player is being asked to do. It's not come off the bench and Lenny Harris your way into a paycheck. It's can you play four different positions?
First time to Lenny Harris has been used. Could you conjugate the verb to Lenny Harris?
To Lenny Harris, yes. Yeah. Lenny Harris.
I Lenny Harris.
Lenny Harrising.
You Lenny Harris. Mm-hmm. He, she, or it Lenny Harris.
What is the Vosotros form of Lenny Harrising? Would
that be the we formal version?
Yes, the formal usted. Okay. Yeah, okay. Formal we, yeah, formal nosotros. The ask of that middle tier is more and more, especially in the National League, seemingly becoming versatility defensively. Can you play multiple spots?
Everybody's Ben Zobrist.
You have to be. For that matter, they're Chris Bryant.
Yeah.
I mean, look at just the ability. He can play third. And granted, you know, taking Bryant as one of the super class players that we were just talking about, probably not my making my argument, but for matter of versatility, and it's not just, I mean, Joe Maddon deserves a little praise for being willing to put those guys in extra positions because of what that gives him flexibility-wise throughout the roster. But there are a lot of managers looking at other dudes going, all right, I get third's your best spot, but I don't know, center field in Pittsburgh, that's not a terrible place to be. It's not that hard out there. It's certainly not as bad as the corners.
Joe has also argued, correct me if I'm wrong, Joe believes that over the course of the 6 months and the 162, that there's value in keeping these guys fresh. That there's value in having to know that there's multiple gloves in your bag.
Just coming to the park and having to absorb a different challenge that day. Yeah, that'll light a guy up for sure. Especially, I mean, we've seen it with guys who get slotted into that DH spot for 5 or 6 days. I'm talking about guys who get put into that DH spot who actually can field, not your David Ortiz or Edgar Martinez who get a match lit under them to go play first one day mm-hmm. of the year or something like that. I'm talking about a guy like Matt Davidson, for instance. You get tossed into that DH role, and it's, well, I don't play the field anymore. I don't even do this. And
Frank Thomas talked about that, how hard it was for him to concentrate.
When his numbers bear it out.
Yep.
I mean, he's one of the guys who is that case study for having a glove on your hand at some point during the afternoon helping your actual performance. And I guess to a larger degree, you're going to see that middle class, I think, shift in – you know those talent bubbles, you know, where you've got on each end of like a hexagon or something, you've got your defensive ability, you know, your five tools.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, the vectors.
Yeah, the vectors.
Right,
that's right.
Right. Vector model. Yeah,
that vector for your average player in the next couple of years or even now is not going to look like the overlay if you overlay the vectors, it's not going to look anything like the one from 10
years ago. Because the versatility one's going
to
be a much bigger blob in and of itself, regardless of – and you don't have to be great at right field or great at third base.
Because in a three true outcome offensive environment – You've got that guy everywhere on your roster. You've got the homer, strikeout, walk guy everywhere. You're going to need those other elements. And if we've seen anything about, you know, being counterfactual and trying to ride the opposite wave of you know, a couple of, you know, there is always benefit to zigging while others are zagging. There's inefficiencies to pick up and ways to fill out your roster. You are going to see those things actually materialize on a major league bench.
317 with a question via text. By your scenario, why would a team pay hundreds of millions of dollars for a 27-year-old free agent if they could have a comparable player in their early 20s for much less money? Aha! That's exactly my point. They can't. That those guys getting that money at that age are essentially incomparable. That when somebody like Bryce Harper is available, you can't say, ha, I've got three Bryce Harpers over here.
No, you don't.
No, right. You just
do not have
those. You just don't. That's the highest end of the elite group is going to make all the money. And then what somebody's going to say, you know, the player associate or the agents are going to say, eh, look at what we're doing. And maybe the owners even go back to the players and say, look at your total percentage of revenue and look at how much money you're making, when it's just being concentrated at the very, very top at this point. And, of course, a handful of elite pitchers that prove that their arms aren't going to fall off.
And those are, at this point, those are changing too because of the way we've said. Maybe they're changing. I shouldn't jump so far into medical science and say that they've already changed. But mm-hmm. I don't know. You look at a guy like Daniel Hudson, who has had, 75 elbow reconstructions. And Jace Fry on the White Sox has had the two Tommy Johns. And I'm not necessarily saying that Jace Fry is going to make it as a major league reliever, but he can still throw mid-90s. That slider still does what it does. There are.
Hasn't Pat Neshek had multiple surgeries
with
too?
The elbow?
Yeah, like the sort of funky delivery guy.
I know the one was why he dropped the arm angle.
I
to
thought
where
there
was
a second one.
There might be. I don't know that one for sure, but you have seen, I think, advances in that range, but I don't know that in that aspect you're going to see the paychecks coincide the way they will with elite bats because of pitching being tough, just hard.
That's Connor McKnight. He is half of the new midday show here on The Score. I'm Dan Bernstein. I am the other half of that new Score midday show, 9-1. Bernstein and McKnight. That's the kind of baseball discussion that you're going to get, and it's only going to improve when we add Len Casper to the mix, and he will join us Wednesdays at noon. This will be the first of those regular appearances coming up next on The Score.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.